you can hear hundreds of languages being spoken on the streets of New York City. In a bit, the co-director of the Endangered Language Alliance tells us about their race against time to map little-known languages across the most linguistically diverse city in history. And we'll look at the midlife crisis that Michelangelo had to endure some 500 years ago. Let's start today's travel with Rick Steves at a very special place in Dublin. Ireland's National Museum is one of my favorite museums anywhere. Its rich artifacts, from ancient gold to exquisite medieval brooches to reminders of their tumultuous early 20th century history, help provide a foundation for getting to know more about Ireland and to get more out of your travels to the Emerald Isle. Irish writer Fintan O'Toole worked with the National Museum of Ireland to document, quote, a history of Ireland in 100 objects. These historic artifacts are the ones that help us understand some 7,000 years of Irish history. Fintan is one of today's best-known chroniclers of Ireland. He writes a twice-weekly column for the Irish Times, and he joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves to help us better understand Ireland with a visit to its National Museum. Fintan, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Rick.
You know, I'm an American who visits Ireland as a tourist and a travel writer, and I just really find the National Museum is a national treasure. It's free, it makes Ireland's ancient heritage vivid, and I really think it's a great first stop for any trip around Ireland to really better understand its fabled and complicated past. What's your take on the importance of this museum to your country and to travelers?
I really agree, Rick. You know, it's a terrific place to go. As you say, it's free, so it means you can kind of drop in and out. It's in the city center. You know, if you're anywhere in around the city center, if it's raining, just go in. You know, you can spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or you can spend 3 hours. But it's also quite small, concentrated, you know, so it's not like one of these museums where you just get absolutely exhausted at the end of the day because there's just so much stuff.
You know, Fintan, soggy marshes and peat bogs are a real blessing if you're an archaeologist in Ireland. I mean, that's a perfect way to preserve precious old objects, isn't it?
It's an extraordinary thing, you know, and so there's even some things in the National Museum like ancient fish traps, which should not exist because they should have rotted away a long time ago. But the bogs are a preservative, and one of the most extraordinary things they preserve, and you can go into the National Museum and see these, are bodies.
I call them bog bodies.
They are bog bodies.
And also what brings it really alive is how they were killed. A lot of these people were sort of sacrificially murdered and then tossed into bogs, weren't they?
Yeah, the deal for being a king was you got your fancy hair gel and you didn't have to do any work. But if the crops failed or if the cattle got disease, it was your fault because you were married to the land. That was the idea. The king was married to the land. If things were not working, it meant that the goddess of the land was pretty pissed off with you and you had to be given back to the land. So you were strangled, you were drowned, and you were stabbed. You were killed 3 times.
Their bodies were preserved, but so were their mortal wounds.
Yes.
Now, right next to those bog bodies, there's a reconstructed passage tomb. And I find that Ireland has, you know, we all go to England for Stonehenge. There's some amazing prehistoric stonework and tombs and so on in Ireland. Most, I think, importantly, just north of Dublin, you've got Newgrange and Nowth. But if you see the reconstructed passage tomb there in the National Museum, it sort of preps you for what these things are all about.
It does give you an idea of how important these structures were in the landscape and to the people who built them. You know, you have to remember the amount of effort that went into creating these things. I would really recommend you having a look at the reconstructed one, the National Museum, and then just going up. It's only about 20 miles from Dublin. It's kind of our Valley of the Kings. You have these, and these are Neolithic. These are some of the oldest existing structures in the world. These are from before the pyramids.
Well, you know, you say the Valley of the Kings, and they're as old as the pyramids in Egypt.
They are. Some of them are older even, you know. And there's one, the most famous one that you can go to is Newgrange. And Newgrange, to me, is still heart-stopping, right? Because they discovered in the 1950s when they were excavating it, they suddenly discovered. So it's a passage, a dark passage, you know, underground, goes in, opens up into a chamber. And it's very interesting. They bury the bodies in the chamber.
But do I understand this right, that the passageway is lined up to the setting sun on a certain solstice? So one time of the year, assuming the sun is out and it's not cloudy, the sun will actually shine right down that passage to the center of this round pyramid and do something really exciting to the mortal remains that are in the center of that tomb.
That's exactly it. And it's the most beautiful image. And it, whatever culture you're from, it touches your heart because you know what it's about, right? So it was the darkest day of the year, the winter solstice. The sun is dying. This was the fear of these people, right? The sun was everything.
Yes.
The sun is dying. And what do? You capture the sun. It comes in through a light box. You remember the sophisticated astronomy of these people, they could figure out just for that one day, the sun comes up the passage.
And this is 5,000 years ago.
Yeah. And it lights up the dead again. And it's, you know, the year is turning. It's coming back. The sun will come back for another year. It's a very, very beautiful piece of art, I think, really.
Fintan O'Toole is our guest on Travel with Rick Steves. He's a columnist with the Irish Times and a professor of Irish Letters at Princeton. Among the dozens of books he's written, A History of Ireland in 100 Objects highlights the artifacts that helped define Ireland over more than 7,000 years. They're displayed at the National Museum. Fintan's most recent book explains how and why Ireland's changed since he was born in 1958. It's called We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. We have links to his work at ricksteves.com/radio. And it's so fun to have you with us today, Fintan, to talk about this museum that I think we both know and love here. When we're talking about these passage tombs, the Hill of Tara is a special place to the whole culture of Ireland, from ancient times until modern times. And you'll see that word a lot. A lot of the artifacts at the museum come from Tara. Tell us what the importance of the Hill of Tara is to the Irish civilization.
So ancient Ireland did not have cities, right? So you're not talking about a kind of urban civilization, very, very rural agricultural society. So Tara was the most important gathering place, sacred gathering place. And it was, I suppose, regarded as the center of Ireland, as the heartbeat of Ireland, you know, as the spiritual center. So there was a kind of High King, and the High King was based at Tara. More, I think, a kind of ritual or spiritual leader than a political one very often. But Tara was really seen as the place where the whole Irish community could look towards.
One thing that I find unforgettable about the National Museum when I'm venturing into Ireland's past is the treasure trove of gold that's there. There's so much ancient gold, prehistoric gold. It's like 4,000 years old, and it's exquisitely worked. Tell us about this gold that we'll see at the National Museum in Dublin.
So it's one of the great collections of ancient gold, as you say, from Europe. I mean, it just so happened that there was an amount of gold that was easily accessible, even to relatively primitive technologies. You know, they could get it in the rivers, and there was some kind of shallow rock that they could get. So they actually had, by the standards of the time, a lot of gold. Hmm. So, of course, they wanted to show off the bling.
Yeah.
What's amazing is the quality of some of the work. There's a famous form that they used called the lunula, which is it's like a kind of moon-shaped collar that goes around like the shoulders and down on the breast. And if you look at the largest ones of these, there's one called the Gleninchine Turk. And I was looking at it, and I was trying to write something about it, and I was asking about this, and a very distinguished goldsmith told me there were 8 different techniques. And he said, there's nobody around now who could do those 8 techniques.
Wow. Now, these are 4,000 years old.
4,000 years old.
If I can envision it, it's a broad necklace hammered flat, kind of the crescent-shaped thing that would hang around your neck. And then it might even have matching earrings, right?
Absolutely. And you can imagine the power, right?
So yes.
You can imagine in this society where the priestess or the priest or whoever's wearing this thing. And of course, it's going to come out. It's going to catch the sun.
Yes.
And it's moon-shaped. So it seems that some of these things, these gold objects, were meant to represent both the sun and the moon.
Oh.
The moon represented the female principle and the sun, the male principle.
Well, whoever's
wearing these things is sort of a, you know, superhero figure who's both male and female.
And I'd be eating out of the palm of their hand, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. You would do whatever they told you.
The most exquisite souvenir of the Irish past, I think, has got to be the Tara brooch. And it goes back to the year about 700 AD. So not as old as this other stuff, but still, when Western Europe was rutting in the mud and Rome had fallen, Ireland was able to make this exquisite and minuscule piece of art that people were so amazed by it, they thought it couldn't even be done by humans. It must be the work of the fairies.
Yes.
Tell us about the Tara brooch and why that's important.
So again, it's exquisite metalwork, as you say, the number of techniques that are used in it, the detail. You know, again, meant to be a very powerful object. It was going to be worn by somebody of extremely high status. But it tells us just something about the sophistication of this culture. before the Normans come in, before the British come in, you have a culture where the levels of metalworking, which if you think about it, that requires generations and generations of skill to be preserved. It requires knowledge of the materials. It requires techniques that have been honed down to levels of elegance.
Fintan O'Toole wrote the book that accompanies the exhibit on the history of Ireland in 100 Objects at Ireland's National Museum in Dublin. You can link to his earlier conversations with us in our show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. Fintan, we've just talked about a couple of the artifacts at the National Museum. We want to remind people it's free, it's in Dublin. As you said, you can just pop in when you feel like it. And let's finish off our sweep through all of this with something much more modern. Ireland has had such a stirring modern history as the people of Ireland have worked and worked for their independence. What is something in the museum that might inspire us from the modern side?
So maybe something people might like to look at, it might sound very grim, but there's a shirt, an ordinary working class person's shirt, but it's bloody. And it's a shirt that was worn by a guy called James Connolly when he was executed by the British in 1916. You know, he was one of the leaders of the 1916 Rising, which was a kind of madcap enterprise by these guys who, you know, thought they had to rise up against the British, and the British kind of executed them in cold blood. But it's also sort of inspiring because, you know, they were right. They failed. They were executed. But they felt somehow that, you know, by doing what they did, by sacrificing themselves, they would inspire Irish people. So it's meant to inspire in a way. And it's not really, it should feel very morbid, but actually to me, it feels like it's a reminder that we enjoy what we enjoy because people went before us who took risks and who sacrificed themselves and who had ideals. And we want to live up to those ideals, I hope.
And an exhibit like that is a reminder that Ireland's National Museum is a place to go to get a broad appreciation for the story of the Irish people. Fintan O'Toole, thank you so much for joining us and best wishes with your teaching and thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
We'll hear about languages on the brink of dying out a little later in the hour. But first, we take a closer look at the midlife frustrations that even an artistic genius like Michelangelo had to face. It's Travel with Rick Steves.